joining us in a studio. Howard Saxton, Wayne Sussman, Howard, what did you think of that?
I'm a believer.
Oh, you're a believer.
I was a believer until I saw him perform live. Then I lost my faith.
Really? I've never seen him perform live. I thought it
was abysmal.
Why? Was it during his drug phase, his depression from drug phase?
I think so.
Yeah, I see, that's the problem.
I felt like I should have gone on some drugs as well in order to enjoy it.
Well, that's always an option. So, it's never too late. But this song's great.
Yeah, no, that's good. Look, he's a talented musician.
Yeah, and Ed Sheeran is it's very much an Ed Sheeran song. He wrote it. There's no question. He writes about this kind of thing all the time.
I feel that Justin owes me a refund from his show at Soccer City there.
All right, so Justin does.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
No, it was just...
Well, I loved Ed Sheeran at Soccer City, I have to say.
Ed Sheeran was fantastic.
Was absolutely wonderful. And that other guy's coming back. What's his name?
Passenger. He was amazing.
He is very talented. He's also just released a new album. My daughter is obsessed.
Is it the same song over and over again? Because he did say during the show he only got one song. He did indeed. Which
Wayne,
he played very well.
He did. Wayne, we're going to need to get you a mic. Otherwise, no one's going to be able to hear your wisdom. No. You're good. There we go. Good morning.
You don't want me speaking about Justin Bieber, so.
No, which is why I didn't ask you.
Yes. Well,
and Wayne comes from a very musical family. His wife is a very famous singer.
Really?
She's a Yiddish singer, yes.
That's unbelievable.
So in our family, we do Yiddish music and elections.
Wow, that must be fun. Imagine having Friday night with them.
I'm sorry, I've got plans.
Right, well, come as long as you don't do the Yiddish thing and you don't talk elections. All right, well, then you're no longer invited.
We're pretty popular social mixture.
Well, especially this week, I would imagine.
On TicketWeb, you can book Shabbos dinner at the Sussmans.
Exactly. Ed Sheeran was nothing having him for Friday night. It's the Sussmans that you want to be at. All right, so Wayne, what a week. Have you slept at all?
I slept last night, and I woke up early to crunch the numbers on places like Sea Point and Glen Hazel, and the power went off this morning. So
Norwood doesn't have power because the ANC won the elections, right?
I'll comment on not having power. I can't comment on that. But Norwood doesn't have power this morning, so I can't go into the granular detail. But I did get a bit more sleep last night. On Thursday morning, Wednesday evening I went to sleep at 9:30.
Right.
After watching my wife perform in Parkview. Then I said I'd wake up at 1 o'clock to get to Pretoria at 2 o'clock, but I woke up at 12:20. I couldn't sleep anymore.
Right.
And I was at the results operation center from 2 o'clock in the morning till about 8 o'clock last night. So it was a very long stretch. Yeah. Not as long as what Howard did in 94 and 99, but that's pretty impressive, Howard.
So I went to go have breakfast with Wayne yesterday at the Election Centre in Pretoria.
Was it an incredible atmosphere there?
You know, it's fantastic to be there. It really is because you've got the SABC broadcasting from there and ENCA and the new news channel that no one knows the name of and all the radio stations. So
I have to tell you, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I miss ANN7 now.
Is there no entertainment value in the new channel?
Nothing. And we didn't need to wake up. We could have got the results already before... before we went to sleep on Wednesday. Yeah, anyway, carry on.
But so it is fantastic to be there. But you know, a lot of the things are happening out in the field now. So their boards and their political parties, and it's a fantastic opportunity to go talk to each of the parties. And considering there are 48 of them on the national ballot this year, there are a lot of politicians wandering around.
Right.
Most of them in deep depression.
Yeah,
like the rest of the country.
That's the one thing you get. It's really amazing to be there, but there are a lot of broken dreams there. Parties.
We don't think of that, you know, the disappointment there.
Parties who had the hope of somehow getting a legislature seat. I got to meet, and I always get this wrong. It's either Socialist Revolutionary Workers, the Socialist Revolutionary Workers Party. You've seen their posters all along the Kosher Strip. And I got to meet them on the Tuesday evening, and they had they were circumspect, and they right now under a seat, and they talk about lofty ideals about socialism and the workers' revolution, but the voters yesterday or on Wednesday didn't really go with that.
That does seem to be a trend of this election, and I'm personally disappointed that some of the smaller parties didn't get a seat, just because I think it's healthy to have diverse voices in Parliament. I think somebody standing up and saying something a little bit different outside of the mainstream parties, I think think is somewhat healthy. That's a personal, that's my view on it. But there's definitely a trend to consolidate. Would you agree with that?
There's a trend to consolidate. It's hard to say because we need to see how many parties actually end up getting in parliament. Looks like one or two new parties will get into parliament. But ultimately, besides for the IFP and the Freedom Front, we can come back to the big three parties are still winning the overwhelming share of the votes.
What does it mean? And this is the question for both of you is what does it mean that let's assume the ANC ends with where they are at the moment, which is the 57.27. They go up, they go down. What that really means is the last 5 years cost them 5% or 4%, whatever the number is. Either way, it's not more than 5% that it cost them. Isn't that bizarre?
It would be bizarre if Jacob Zuma was still president. But I think as we discussed on Wednesday, the ANC has this unbelievable ability to reinvent itself with every leader. And I think many people bought into this narrative. It's a new party. It's Cyril Ramaphosa. You're voting for Ramaphosa. Give him a chance to fix things up.
Right. And Zanati, that was your view. That was your approach.
Yeah.
Absolutely critical of the ANC, unforgiving in what they've done. But Zanati said on the station, I think it was the day before the vote, she's voting ANC because she believes that Cyril Ramaphosa wants to fix the party. Yeah.
Now, the sad thing is when she voted for Cyril Ramaphosa this year, she also voted for Butterbile Dlamini.
Yes. But you made peace with that. You knew that.
I did, exactly.
And Malusi Kikabo, we know why you voted for him.
She's got a boyfriend. Wow. Do you want me to turn off his mic as a punishment? Just like for a few seconds.
But you know, going back, it seems so easy when someone says to you, oh, all you need is 46,000 votes and you can be in parliament. And you take, for example, Canton Pillay's party, the Purple Cow party, the ZACC's, the South African Capitalist Party. Yes. And he thought he was going to get 10 seats.
Yeah, ZACP sitting now with 9,855. I mean, they're nowhere near.
Are they beating Black First, Land First or no longer?
No longer. Black First, Land First is sitting with 11,396 votes.
What's
this
morning. The percentage for?
0.09.
Yeah, that's unlikely.
You know, and given the huge publicity that the media gave Black First, Land First, you would have thought they would have easily got 1, 2, 3 seats in parliament, but they're absolutely nowhere. And probably my favorite, Wayne, must be yours as well, Claudio Motsoeneng.
Oh, we love him.
The man who really thought he would be president of the country after these elections.
So the other night, the night of the vote, I went to see Endgame. And the main character there, the evil character, well, I can't remember what his name is.
Thanos,
thank you very much. Keeps saying, I am inevitable. And I keep thinking that should have been Claudie's byline. I am inevitable. He is my hashtag motivational Friday. Because if Claudie can be positive and he's saying, yeah, well, you know, he's still going to lead this country, then we all can be positive.
Well, he's leading the country with 2,855 votes.
Yes, he's got a big family.
he needs the smelling salts. He said that those who don't believe he'll ascend to the union buildings will need smelling salts. Well, I think he'll need some today.
Right. And as for that, what land or death or success?
Black First Land.
Yes. You know, obviously death now going to be the option.
Correct.
Well, you know.
So it's interesting. The African Security Congress, they're still beating all of these parties.
Who is that? What?
The African Security Congress is a party for security guards.
Yes, 19,240 votes at 0.16%.
That could become interesting, Howard, if they still pick up pockets of votes everywhere and sneak in a seat.
Well, I think.
What do we need? 45,000.
But it's going to be less, remember?
Oh, because of the voter turnout.
Yes. I think even on current voter turnout, we're probably going to somewhere between 43 and 45,000, I think, is going to be definitely get a seat. And one party below that will get a seat.
Last time it was two parties.
So are you saying COPE with 34,793 will probably get a seat?
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think it's important to realize that, of course, when it comes into how many voting districts have reported, 76% of voting districts have reported.
Right.
Which you'd say, okay, well, there's still 24% to go. But when you look at the actual numbers, you will see there are a minimum of 5 million votes that will still come in. Probably about 5.2, 5.3 million votes. That's a lot of votes.
That's a lot of votes.
And the reason being, the places that have not reported yet, which is very unusual and very bizarre, Gauteng, the metros in Gauteng have been atrocious. We don't have results from Glen Hazel.
I could give them to you. I've got them.
Because your family knows how they voted.
Right.
But there are no votes in from Glen Hazel. There are no votes in from Beth David, the only Jewish institution where people voted in Morningside. Why?
Well, shouldn't those have been almost like the first in? What would delay that?
I mean, Howard would know this more than me, but I think there was this idea that, for instance, in Gauteng, the townships in Soweto would come in last. That's not the case. How would it work, Howard, with the verification?
So certainly this year, the results have been particularly slowly. So the general rule of thumb is by 9 o'clock in the morning after the election, you probably have about 20% of the votes in.
Right.
But by 9 p.m., 24 hours after the election, you have 90% of the votes in. And this year, we're sitting at about 65. And even, you know, we're now, 36 hours after the election, and it's only 76. So voting has been very slow. You don't know where the holdup is. And the places that are still to report, which have significant impact, particularly on parties like the DA, because they're parts of Cape Town, urban Cape Town, part of the Cape Town Metro, not in. Big chunks of Gauteng.
So we actually could see, what you're saying is you could see the DA improving in their numbers. Wayne, a little bit more skeptical
about
that.
It's hard to say. I agree with Howard that there are lots. So there was this idea that the DA could go down to 19%. That's what some of the polls said. That's very unlikely.
Right.
But for instance, there are big chunks of the cities, but then there are also parts of the ANC stronghold in southern KwaZulu-Natal, which have still got to come in.
And eThekwini, Durban region in KwaZulu-Natal.
There are a lot of votes there. Parts of the Eastern Cape. Limpopo has been very slow, and that could be good for the ANC and the EFF. What's Limpopo currently on?
Yeah, Limpopo, only 61% of voting districts have reported in Limpopo. And that is definitely an ANC stronghold, but there are also some pockets of EFF support in Limpopo.
Correct, yeah.
But you know, I think the big story coming out of this election, or if we were to go into the major headlines, yes, the EFF did better, but they did nowhere near as well as they themselves expected.
So what were they thinking? What were they hoping for?
So I would say, I'm just going to go a step backward. Mm. The three major parties are all going to have to do a lot of introspection today. Let's come back to the EFF,
right,
if that's okay.
Yeah, go through each one.
So the ANC,
right,
Cyril Ramaphosa promised us this new dawn. There was a huge amount of excitement that he could renew the party and renew the country. At the end of the day, this is going to be the first election in our democratic history that the ANC comes in at under 60%.
Right.
They are losing votes in KwaZulu-Natal. They might just well hang on to Gauteng. They've lost votes in Mpumalanga. And the ANC has to deal with the fact that for a big chunks of the population, they're no longer as loyal to the party as they once were. The ANC, by the way, did have breakthroughs, and I can come back to that. But let's move to the DA now. For the official opposition to stagnate or even go backward when you're dealing with issues such as Bosasa, the VBS story, all the corruption, the power outages, the DA will have to do a lot of soul searching and think of their public tiff with Patricia de Lille and how many votes that cost them. And it's clear if you look at voting stations such as Houghton, such as Craig Hall Park, that a lot of people decided to vote for the ANC on the national ballot. And then also in the more conservative Afrikaans areas, there was a huge groundswell of support from the DA to the Freedom Front. So the DA will have to do a lot of introspection about that. How can they, as an opposition party, not have grown? And the EFF, I think the big thing is the expectation game. They really believe, and their supporters, who are very loyal to them, believe that they would at the very least double their support. They didn't. They're going to finish between 9 and 10%, maybe.
Where were they last time?
6.2, 6.3.
But polls showed them 14%.
14-15%. So Howard is correct that they're still going to pick up votes in Limpopo, but in Julius Malema's backyard, they haven't shot out the lights. They're doing well. Remember we spoke about coastal breakthroughs in KwaZulu-Natal. That's happened. In Mpumalanga, they didn't become the official opposition. But where do they go from being a party which was supposed to be the government in waiting to only getting 9-10%? So I think all three major parties have a ton of introspection to do today, and that's the theme for from the election.
And tell me about the VF Plus. I mean, I haven't even, I have to tell you, I didn't really know who their leader was until this morning when Zanati mentioned it.
But who is it?
Yeah.
Peter Groenewald. So
there we go. But that's exactly the point. I haven't taken them seriously at all. And, I mean, listen, they're sitting with the 2.46%.
But the important thing is that's up from under a percent in the last election.
297,000 people so far voted for them.
It's a significant development. Mm. And I'm, I don't want to sound like a right-wing pundit, but talk about mainstream media. But I think a lot of the media missed this, and they need to also do some introspection about this. Mm. We had a by-election in Krugersdorp recently where the Freedom Front got 30% of the vote, and I spoke a lot about it, but a lot of the media ignored it. There was a sign, and the Freedom Front galvanized Afrikaans people who said the DA is just simply not strong enough on land and property rights. The DA are not speaking enough about farm murders. We need a party who will best represent our interests. And they are the main beneficiaries here. And that's a real success story of this election.
Could it be one of the things that I was considering, and in fact we spoke with Tanya Khoury this morning, who's a social media expert, and her comment was interesting. She is a Muslim woman, and she felt that the DA didn't speak to her at all. And in thinking about it, part of the problem, I think, with the marketing of the DA is they tried to speak to everybody, but didn't really speak specifically to anybody. The EFF's very—it's very, very clear who they're speaking to. The Freedom, the Freedom Front—it's very clear who their target market is. The DA, I think, has a problem in their messaging, in that they don't have a very clear definition of who feels they represent them.
But I think the problem there isn't the messaging. The problem there is the DA probably has the most diverse support base of any party.
Yes. How do you achieve that?
How do you create a broad tent where you have right-wing Afrikaans farmers and you have probably 80-90% of the Indian community, both Hindu and Muslim, and probably 70% of the colored community, and 80% of the white community, or 90% of the white community, and you've got the black middle class. There's such a diverse range of supporters, it's very hard to craft a message that appeals to everyone.
Unsigned says the DA must close down, go bankrupt. They need to follow the EFF. They will teach them a trick or two about getting votes. All right, I'm not sure I can agree with that. And I'm not even reading this SMS because I think it's just silly. Bait David's Jewish status is questionable. Yes, no, that really adds, contributes to the conversation. Thank you very much for that. And of course the voter turnout.
So just before the voter turnout, on Wednesday morning, it's been such a, I forgot what day it was.
Few messages saying, is it Wednesday? Because Howard Sexton's on the show, so that's very confusing. And when you had a public holiday on Wednesday, and today's Friday, which could be where feel like Wednesday, I do understand. We are talking elections. That is what we are doing. In fact, Wayne, I need to stop you right there. It is about to go Howard Sexton, even though it's not Wednesday. And, Wayne Sussman, we're talking about the results of the election. Wayne, just before we went to the break, you had something very important you wanted to not let go.
So we are speaking about the DA. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I said on Wednesday was, big question will be, can the DA hold on or grow the black support it got in townships in 2016 and not stem too many, lose too many votes to the ACDP and the Freedom Front and the right, so to the more white voters. Mm. Well, what we see right now is that in many parts of Gauteng, the DA has held on to some of that black support and even grown in some areas. I mean, but the data is all over the place. They've also lost some ground in some areas. but they were affected by the Freedom Front. So that messaging is going to become even more difficult going forward, because when we come to the local government elections in 2021, they're going to be faced that same challenge. How do we hold on to our voters in the townships and get back those voters who've now deserted us? On the flip side, I also said on Wednesday, can the ANC become more diverse and appeal to white minority voters and get their supporters, particularly in Soweto, to the poll? So while the ANC's campaign in KwaZulu-Natal hasn't turned out the enthusiasm, the enthusiastic voters, in Gauteng, they succeeded in not only getting their base to the poll in townships like Soweto, but in many of the suburbs, attracted people to vote for Cyril Ramaphosa on the national ballot. So the ANC realize they need to become more diverse, and they've succeeded somewhat, particularly in Gauteng. The DA were less successful in that regard.
So the DA currently sitting on 21.79%. How did they end last election?
Just over 22%, 22.3 or 22.2, which gave them 89 seats.
But can I pick up on one of the things that Wayne spoke about?
Yes.
So Peter Bruce had this idea: vote differently in national and provincial elections.
Yes.
Show, for example, the ANC that you like Cyril Ramaphosa by voting on the national ballot for the ANC, provincial vote differently. Now, within kind of our community areas, it's very difficult to assess if that was successful, because we can't yet access the Glen Hazel, the Highlands North, the Morningsides, the Santons. Those results are not out. But my polling station's results are out, and I think it's important to actually look to see if that had any effect. So I vote at Fairway School on Corlett Drive near the Wanderers Cricket Stadium. And in my polling district, my voting district, the ANC got 26% on the national ballot. And if you look at the provincial ballot, they got 20%. So there's a 5-6% swing, whereby people did vote differently, ANC on the national ballot, differently on the provincial ballot. And that's very, very telling.
You saw that in places like Sea Point and Clifton. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but that also held true there. So that was an effect. And I sent out a tweet this morning that Lebogang Mayile, who's a former ANC Youth League leader in Gauteng, and he was an MEC in David Makura's cabinet. He ran the ANC election campaign in Gauteng, and he's one of the heroes of the ANC today. Because one of the things I spoke about on Wednesday is the squeeze. The ANC was incredibly successful. They were able to turn out their voters on election day, and he's a name to watch out for in the future, because the party can be very thankful towards him.
So
just to look specifically at Sea Point of what happened. So on the provincial ballot in Sea Point, the ANC got 6.26%. But when you go to the national ballot, they're at 10.76%.
Right, which indicates that. Now, I'm just looking. I got a sort of a handwritten result from the Glen Hazel primary school area. It is not official, but just to give you some kind of an indication, this was there were 900 ballots, and ANC got 83 of them. Now this is for national, right? ANC gets 83 on national. The DA 635, just looking at those, and going to provincial, the ANC gets 77 and the DA 680. So indicating some people doing that, but not that many. Time is 8:39. Joining our conversation all the way from Cape Town, Luba Mayekiso. Luba, very good morning. How are you?
It's actually not in Cape Town. I'm in Joburg today.
Oh, really? So then why aren't you in studio, Luba?
Because I stayed up until 3 o'clock in the morning, and I wasn't going to get up at some ungodly hour to fight Joburg traffic. I'm sorry, my friend.
Fine. All right. We'll accept it this time. So Luba, in joining us in the studio is Howard Saxteen and Wayne Sussman. We're talking about the results. What is your feeling 2 days after?
Very interesting. I think, you know, looking at early in the morning yesterday, the theatrics of the smaller parties were quite disturbing, in the sense that, you know, yes, there might have been some irregularities, but not to the extent that they're making it. I mean, to say you're going to go to the Concord, do you want a re-vote? But he could see that all the guys wanted him, and many of them were saying there was fraud, they were irregular, therefore let's have an inclusive government. All of us must be in government, and which is just really crazy. But I think with the big parties, for me, the surprise has been, well, not a surprise, as I said, DA hasn't really grown nationally. And I think, you know, if you look at the last 9-10 years we've had, this is probably their best chance to have grown. I mean, we had the Zuma administration, we had load shedding, we've got the Zondo Commission. Everything that could have gone wrong on the ANC side did go wrong. And if they couldn't capitalize on that, then I'm not quite sure what they'll capitalize on, because if Cyril does do what he promises to do, which is put the country on a better footing, he'll be a much more difficult opponent to come against. The interesting thing has been the growth of the EFF and the Freedom Front. It's almost as if a nationalist kind of agenda is playing out in a smaller extent, you know, because when you look at the Freedom Front, you know, how they've come to the fore. So that's been surprising. What's also been, I think, quite interesting is to see that parties like COPE and UDI and COPE and Akgang might not even get a seat. So that's been the interesting part, just how some voters have reacted to this issue.
Although that said, something that I was looking at is maybe the ANC losing voters to the EFF, the DA losing voters to the Freedom Front, isn't that really mainstreaming the parties, moving the more radical elements, or the more extreme, and I shouldn't use the word radical because not everybody that votes for either of those parties necessarily is, but it's definitely the more extreme left or the more extreme right out of these mainstream parties.
Yeah, so that is obviously a great opportunity for the ANC and an opportunity for the DA.
Mm.
They can say, let's start off the DA. The DA can say now that our voters are more reflective of the demographics of South Africa. We don't need to be beholden to the more conservative,
elements.
To more conservative elements. And the ANC can say, we are now the broad church. Cyril Ramaphosa has succeeded in making us a party which appeals to a cross section of South Africa. So that is, those are both opportunities for the ANC and the DA going forward.
I think it's important to note these are good results for South Africa. The ANC has been taught a lesson, but we still have stability because we don't have a change of government.
Let's just examine that. Do you believe that they've been taught a lesson?
I think any party that drops 5% in an election has been taught a very important lesson.
Right.
But there's no instability that's going to come. There's
Absolutely.
No infighting.
True.
There's no need for coalition politics. Mm. It's a good result for South Africa that the ANC is still in charge and yet has dropped in its support.
Can I ask two questions, guys? I agree that it's been taught a lesson, but I think it's predictable in the sense that we all knew that it would kind of get a result that was significantly lower. But in terms of the broad coalition, I think if you're the DA and you need to increase your percentage, you need to appeal to a broader community. But does a party like, let's say, the ANC or the EFF necessarily need to do that? I'm not saying that they shouldn't from an idyllic point of view. But I think the ANC still, you know, fares probably best in the black communities. Where that inclusivity hurts the ANCs in the Western Cape, and I think there they've not managed to bridge that divide in the coloured vote, to be quite frank. But I think nationally, we would want the ANC to be more reflective, but it doesn't really have to nationally, I think, to stay in power. That's just the anomaly from a race point of view in South Africa, that you don't necessarily need to appeal to a broad cross-section if you're the ANC. It's good that they do, but I don't think they need to.
Why?
I agree with you, but in Gauteng it was clear that Lebogang Maile realized that they had to appeal to minority voters. They did a lot of rapprochement with the white community and, of course, the Kulin Indian community. And going forward in particularly relatively diverse provinces like the Western Cape and Gauteng, in order for the ANC to carry on growing there, they're going to need to appeal to all those communities.
Tell me your thoughts on the ACDP. They're sitting right now at 0.92%. That's 111,000 voters. How does that reflect on them?
So there's still votes coming in. They're going to end up in about three or four seats. Now, the key thing is,
how many did they have?
Three seats. Right. So the key thing here is, whatever one wants to say about the Freedom Front, like the ANC and the DA, have had more than two leaders since 1994. The Freedom Front are now in their third leader. When one looks at parties like the African Christian Democratic Party, the UDM, COPE, these are personality-driven parties. Okay, I understand the ACDP standing for a broader values, but it's clear to me that they need a leadership change because, again, there was a lot of opportunity for them this election. They're polling well in the Western Cape, and to roughly sit on the same says to me that there needs to be some change in the
which,
party
which
going
we've,
forward.
Which we've said, you know, yes. It needs almost to sort of the next needs, generation.
Correct. And, you know, it, in some way that party is very much a family party.
Mm,
it
mm.
it does need Olga Meshwe to come in and revitalize right. the
but,
party.
But they're such an important voice. I believe they're such an important moral voice and that's why I like some of the smaller parties, just because they bring different voices to Parliament. Luba, your thoughts?
For me, it's been a worrying issue because I've long said that those smaller parties, Holomisa, IFP, ACDP, you know the leader, you don't know any other MP, you don't know much about the party. They need to change. I've always said that if you were running a company and you were the ACDP or COPE, as a shareholder, you would have long fired your board and said, guys, you can't have three seats for the last 10 years. It's impossible. There's no growth. It needs to change. I think it misreads the Christian community very badly. If you look at social media, the ACDP was quite upbeat about, even statements of saying we're going to be in government. And I kept saying, but on what basis? So where the ACDP goes wrong, you have big events like the one that Angus organized here in Pretoria and then one in Bloem. And they see 1.5 million Christians coming together and they say, well, that's our kind of voter base. That's who's going to vote for us. But if you look at, let's say, the Freedom Front, what the Freedom Front was able to do was to say, what's important to the community, to our constituency out there? Land and these issues will stand strong against these issues, and people rallied. Now, if you look at, say, the ACDP tends to dictate to the Christian community and says, these are the things that are important for you. Same-sex marriage, abortion, and this and this, and you must vote for us because we stand for these issues. Now, it doesn't go and ask the community. So if you take the majority Christian community, their view is inconsistent with the ACDP on land, on affirmative action. But the ACDP works on the premise that if you're a Christian, you'll stand with us. And that's where I think it's going wrong. So it's not going to grow until it's able to sit and say, but what does that Christian community want from us? And we need to relook our policies on certain issues. So for me, I think it's a lost opportunity. I don't think bringing somebody in the family would make much change. I know there were some guys who tried to step up and get involved, but then they pulled back. So there's almost a reluctance to embrace change and new styles and new people. So unfortunately, it's going to stay around three or four until something radical happens within the party.
Isn't that the problem with any religious-based party? You know, the ANC, the DA can pander to the will of the voters. If you believe that you're a religious-based party, then it has to be top-down. Then it is the dictation of certain religious values, moral principles, and you either adhere to them or you don't.
No, I agree, but what I'm saying is then on issues like, let's say, affirmative action on land, then many Christians will argue the ACDP's policy is not even consistent with a biblical view. So there lies a problem, because if you talk to many Christians, they'll say, you know what, you need restitution. There is a biblical principle of restitution, and the ACDP doesn't stand with that. So whilst it's top down, for me, it's top down on the issues that are not important. You know, ask yourself this question. When government legalized same-sex marriage or abortion in this country, did you ever see Christians marching to Parliament or anywhere? No, they never did. So whilst biblically it's important, it's not something that's pivotal, that will swing a person's vote, that will get them out onto the street. But the issues of land and BE and affirmative action, those are much more important. So the ACDP is holding on to Christian principles, but not the ones that kind of, not the bread and butter issues, not the ones that are the red lines for the community. That's my problem. So it can be top down, but you also need to understand what does your voter want. And I think there's a disconnect.
Very, very interesting. Mike says, I think the face of Cyril saved the ANC, nothing else. Given the shifts to EFF, I feel a lesser leader would have lost the ANC another 10 to 15%. If Cyril fails, provincials will ultimately go to the EFF and further losses to the DA and VF. My next vote goes to the VF. That's from Mike.
You know what I found interesting, Howard, was I heard one or two people saying, I love the ANC, but I need to teach the ANC a lesson. I'm voting for the EFF to give them a wake-up call, which I found quite interesting. And I've seen that on social media, many people who need a strong EFF, and we need to rattle the cage of the ANC to take us more seriously. Therefore, I'm going with the EFF.
Interesting.
And that would also be the Freedom Front and the DA. We need to teach the DA a lesson. We're voting for the Freedom Front this time. So it's clear that voters were choosing parties more on the extremes, more radical or more conservative parties, to teach the ANC a lesson and then the DA a lesson.
I mean, I think one of the big questions is, where do we go from here? Because if I was in opposition politics in South Africa, we need a shake-up. If Cyril is successful as a president, then the ANC will secure its future as a leader. So if you're in opposition, what do you do? And the truth is, we do not have a credible opposition alternative to the ANC in the country. And we need someone of gravitas and stature to step up.
So why doesn't the DA represent that? Because, you know, if we look at, if you just take a step back and you look at what the ANC has done to this country in the last 5 years, it is beyond our worst imagination. It's our biggest nightmare. And yet they're going to be sitting at 57 or 58% of the vote. It is absolutely mind boggling if you look at it from that perspective.
I'll give you a crazy answer. A friend of mine who's in the ANC made a comment, and he said the ANC is like that spouse that you've been married to for 30 years. They're abusive and they're not good for you, but you're too old to start afresh. And so there are many people who kind of saying, I've been here, I know the ANC, I'm not going to change. So that's more the older generation. But what you're also finding, I think, is that in trying to get the black community to stand with them, the DA, there is some struggle, because if I look at it from my own perspective, there's still a perception. Now, it may be wrong that the DA may have a leader like Musi Maimane and mayors who are black, but essentially the engine room within the federal kind of council, the decision making, is still largely in kind of a white cabal kind of thing. And the decisions in terms of where they stand on land and many key issues are driven by interests that are not pro the black community.
Well, that's
the perception. Now, rightly or wrongly. So with that in mind, you're always going to struggle to really get that mass appeal, because there's still that perception, that distrust of the
people. I just want to stop you there as an attitude.
I just think for a lot of people, it was about what they don't want more than what they want. Because for me, in the last elections, I voted for EFF because I was like, I need to teach the ANC a lesson. But this time I was like, I don't want the DA, because honestly, there was this thing that the DA support was going to grow. So because I didn't want to dilute the votes for the ANC, I voted for them because I didn't want the DA to... Yeah.
Well, today, are you still happy with your decision, or would you have voted differently?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are unhappy about their decision. I think for many people, this election was a compromise vote.
That's why I don't understand how people voted twice. I could barely muster up the energy for one vote.
So I just want to say, going forward, there's obviously great opportunity for Cyril Ramaphosa to bring in a great cabinet, to bring reform to this country. But this country has a tremendous amount of challenges. And I think it's naive for people to think that he's going to bring a new broom and sweep everything clean. There are municipalities which are going to be dysfunctional. The economy is battling to grow. So I do think that he'll have 5 years, 4 or 5 years to prove himself, to show the change he's going to bring with his new administration. But let's not be naive and think that all the challenges facing this country are going to go away.
Is it a good thing, and I know we have to start wrapping up, is it a good thing that all of the major parties were disappointed? I think it is.
introspection.
It is, but here's a question that I'd like to leave you with, Howard, is that if Cyril comes out with the 55-56, which is the lowest of any president, now the grouping within the ANC that is not pro-Cyril, what will they make of that? Will they not use that and say, you know what, Zuma might have been a bad president, but he still managed to return results over 60. So could that not be used against him by that faction to say, look, this guy's not as popular as you think.
Right.
And therefore, maybe he is not the savior for the ANC going forward. I think that, for me, is the crucial issue.
Is a worry. Wayne, your response to that?
There was this article in the Sunday Times which said Ace Magashule used the Thuli House to set up this new party called the ATM. Ace Magashule is not going to risk his future in the party and his party being in government by making a decision which could see he lose his position and for the ANC to lose power. Ace Magashule is going to be shrewd. I think Cyril Ramaphosa is good for the ANC and is good for the country, and therefore the anti-Cyril faction are going to be pragmatic and realize that they need to support the person who can best help the party. And yes, they might stage a fight back and a comeback against Cyril Ramaphosa, but I think they're going to bide their time for now and give him an opportunity.
Howard Sexton, last words from you.
I think it's important to look at the Kruger Park. The south of the Kruger Park has gone to the ANC. The north has gone to the DA. When you're deciding where to go on holiday, selected based on the party.
Yes.
That
very
that's
sensible.
Best, which
very
animals
sensible.
Voted for which party?
Mm. So there we go. Some real wisdom there from Howard Sexton.
Talmudic wisdom.
Absolutely. And I'm trying to think in metaphors. I'm trying.
There
to.
Are no metaphors there. I think seriously though, the final word is if the results hold. I think these are great election results for South Africa. ANC has been taught a lesson. Stability remains. EFF grew, but nowhere near as much as they thought they were. DA more or less stable, also taught some lessons along the way. A few more interesting voices in Parliament. I think we should all say, if we're waiting for good results, these are great results for the country.
And I also want to sorry.
10 seconds for me. I think we did what we did on Wednesday. I think the key issue for me is what do we do going forward in the next couple of years, because I think South Africa's electorate votes and then we fall asleep for the next 4 years or so. And I think if we can have active citizenry that hold our part, whichever party you voted for accountable, I think that for me is what I'd like to see going forward. Once the results that you know,
absolutely, I think that is a crucial point. And I think what is very important to note as well is that we had an enormously successful voting day. People came out to vote. Yes, the lower turnouts reflected an important notion as well. Nobody is missing that. Everybody is getting it. But the voting was peaceful, and the parties largely did how they did. It is an absolute successful democratic process, and I think that is something that we need to be enormously grateful for. We need to be very, very grateful for the fact that Cyril Ramaphosa is the president. It could very easily have gone another way, and we would not be in this position where we can very, very calmly and rationally discuss many of these issues, because there would have been many other things that would have been at play. I think we need to be deeply grateful. We need to be grateful that we've got people like the BLF, who we might love to hate, but democracy wins out there as well, and we need to be grateful for having personalities and people like Claudie Motsoeneng, and I'm going to advise him to adopt the words of Endgame, of who,
Sanati? Thanos.
Of Thanos in the Endgame, and let his byline be "I am inevitable." This is where we love and leave you, Wayne Sussman. Thank you, as always. You have just become an additional official add-on to our team. We're going to be consulting you because it's been an absolutely fascinating week. Howard Sexton, thank you for living in studio as much as you have, and Liba Maikisa, thank you as always. Have a great weekend, everybody. A Shabbat Shalom, and we will see you on Monday morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Don't be late.